The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And so far, we've been having good internet connectivity. I expect it to fail at any moment, and that's one place my mind has been going. If you're just joining now, this is Thursday, a fourth day of exploring the five spiritual faculties, and we'll talk a little bit about samadhi, wholeness of mind, and as I guided in the meditation, the steadiness, collectedness, groundedness, rootedness, here-ness, sustained here-ness and now-ness of mind. Just making up words here, right and left. Where the language doesn't fit the Dharma, let's change the language. I like to say the here-ness and now-ness of our experience. So I hope at some point the OED will recognize my coinages in English. I mentioned at the outset of the hour that I've received word from the good people at Xfinity that the internet's there are going to be outages beginning at 6 a.m. So far, we're good. If I disappear, I set myself up as co-host on my phone. I see all the chats about the echoes. Believe me, I heard the echoes. What I reflected on is how this is a nice metaphor for suffering. The constant echoing of one's own voice in one's head. And the ease that comes when that echo is reduced or softened. Maybe we come to understand its function better and we can thus let go of it a little bit. At some point in attempting to address the echo, which I use Zoom a lot, so I know the echo thing. This is a little different issue. And I finally thought, okay, I'm going to use an old trick. I'll just put the phone under my leg and there will, you know, I won't be able to hear the echo. And that disconnected the meeting, at which point there was this lovely silence as that echo stopped. And there too, I was like, oh, okay, there's that ease that comes with the relaxing of that echo of my own telling myself about my experience in the world. At any rate, I did my best to engage the technical challenge with the Dharma and make the echo into a teaching. So, and maybe I'm going to keep going with that. Why not? Yeah, so this fourth factor, which is samadhi, and I love the word in Pali, samadhi, S-A-M-A-D-H-I, samadhi. It's a lovely word. It has many translations, none of them very, very accurate. But the closest, literally, as Gil has probably shared, is collectedness of mind. Samadhi means a bringing together of mind. Collectedness of mind, stillness of mind, and ease of mind. And I'll share this interesting history with you. And now that I've lost my other Zoom sign in. If we get cut off, I'll pick it up tomorrow. But when the people who first translated the word samadhi translated it, they used the word concentration. The meaning of the word concentration, its associations in English, particularly on this side of the Atlantic, have changed since that time. When they used the word concentration, it meant, and I'm quoting here, the action of bringing to a center, the act of collecting or combining into or about a central point. And this is a really nice definition of samadhi, this idea of collecting or combining into about a central point, right? That's one meaning of concentration if you think about it from the Latin. You don't have to speak Latin to sit in on these 7 a.m. talks. Concentrate, that is, with the center. So I like the idea that we're bringing the mind to around the breath, around the center of our spiritual life, the breathing, the body, right? Our ability to be with our experience without adding things, as I've been talking about the last couple days. And then later, the same word, concentrate, comes to have a meaning which will be familiar from other uses, which is to intensify or condense. I think, for example, of concentrated orange juice. Not very common anymore, but when I was growing up, orange juice was kind of an unusual thing. Fresh orange juice, with or without pulp, or with some pulp, wasn't really a thing, fresh in the grocery aisle. But rather something that one's parents made from concentrate. This idea of bringing the mind's ease and the steadiness of mind and the gladness of mind sort of in a way that intensifies it also really describes samadhi. So when thinking about this fourth faculty, I think the best word to use is samadhi, and the associations maybe that you can start to create with that aspect of the meditative experience. So Diana Clark, one of my lovely colleagues, somebody I teach with, a good friend, describes this fourth faculty as something like this, a stillness of mind accompanied by a feeling of well-being. And these two things together are really important, that there's both the stillness of mind and the sense of ease or well-being that comes with it. And this is why these phrases dropped into the meditation can be so useful. That is, steadying the mind, gladdening the mind. Steadying the mind, gladdening the mind. As I've been saying the last few days, the gladdening is important because it helps us it helps us appreciate, and it actually triggers important things in the brain, that this pleasure taken in the steadiness of mind helps us strengthen it. Another way to think about strengthening or cultivating is just, it helps us create a path. We talk about the path of practice. Part of the path is figuring out, remembering how to get back here. And, you know, if you think about a well-known path in your life, you know, to the 7-Eleven at the corner, or to work, or to, we develop a path, and then it becomes automatic. And this is true with the practice too, that as we go, oh, this is how the mind is steadied, we become so used to recreating those conditions that support that steadiness of mind that we forget that there's a path we're following. And part of that path, I think the cookie crumbs along the path, or the markers, the mile markers along the path, that's the gladness. Oh, right. I move this direction because it feels good. And it feels good because there's more steadiness of mind there. And we keep inclining the mind in the direction of that steadiness. So a way that can be very useful to think of this faculty of mind is how it relates to the one we talked about yesterday, mindfulness. Andrea Fella, co-guiding teacher of IMC, has said in the past that she likes to think of samadhi, this fourth faculty, as a sustained mindfulness. That mindfulness, our attention to the present moment, when it becomes sustained, and when maybe going 2 days back, when the effort involved becomes effortless, right? That steadiness of mind, that sort of consistent bringing of mindful, judgment-free attention to what's coming up in our experience, in the meditation, for example, but also other points of the day, that this is a way to characterize what samadhi can be. And I think that's a really useful idea of Andrea's, just because it's another thing where we can notice that happening. We'll notice, oh, here's a period of 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half a day, half an hour, where there's a lot of sustained mindful attention. And we can recognize, oh, that's this steadiness of mind. Similarly, in the meditation itself, we keep bringing attention back to the breathing, and sometimes we'll notice, yeah, there's just this easeful being with the breathing, where there's not a lot of, maybe stuff's going on in the mind, but it's not it's not getting a lot of attention. It's just kind of coming and going. That sustained mindfulness, that sustained being here, that's that steadiness of mind with, as Diana says, a feeling of well-being. This fourth faculty, it's true with mindfulness as well. In the texts we have, in the teachings, they're both ends and means. They're a lovely place to sit and abide, as it's said. And at the same time, they're means to an end. So mindful attention has benefits in and of itself. It's always more useful to be here now rather than there then in the mind, right? Present for what's coming up in our experience. And at the same time, mindfulness over and over again leads to this sustained steadiness, stillness of mind with ease, with a feeling of well-being. And this fourth faculty, samadhi, it also is a pleasant abiding, as the texts say, a pleasant place to be, something to take pleasure in, because it's a wholesome pleasure, doesn't depend on external conditions, doesn't lead to over-attachment or holding on. We can try, but eventually we learn, oh, it's just a pleasant place to be without strings attached, as it were. And it too, in addition to being a pleasant abiding in the here and now, is a means to an end. And there's a lovely phrase from the text that I'll read you. Where does it go? How is it a means to an end? I got to make sure I'm not running over time. I could talk about this all morning, but eventually the internet would give out. I'd like to think that this profound teaching could break the internet, and yet it's just Xfinity service disruption. So this phrase says, practitioners, you and me both, this stillness of mind with well-being, it's like a lake in a mountain range, transparent, clear, undisturbed. And standing on the shore of this lake, a person with good eyesight could see oysters, and shells, and pebbles, and fish moving about, and fish holding still. And that person might think, ah, this transparent, clear, undisturbed lake, I can see clearly shells, oysters, stones, pebbles, fish moving about, fish standing still in shoals. In the very same way, this stillness of mind allows for clear seeing. And in particular, it allows us to see all that extra being added onto experience that causes suffering or that is suffering. And it allows us to see that the mind can be free of suffering. So this is the particular importance and power of this fourth spiritual faculty or fourth divine human quality that we cultivate in the meditation. I like to sum this up by saying that the still mind, the collected mind, the samadhied mind, to make up another word, sees clearly. The still mind sees clearly. The still mind can see the arising and passing of suffering without getting all caught up in it, just noticing the coming and going. So this is how this particular fourth faculty benefits us in the practice. It allows us a way to be very, very here with our experience in a way that makes the subtlest arisings, the subtlest creations of suffering apparent to us. And little by little, maybe starting with the larger, grosser disturbances, turbulence, suffering, selfing that happens in the mind, we can sort of notice ever more subtle arisings of stress and tension and suffering. At that subtle level, it's easier to let go of it. It's easier to just let it bubble up and bubble down. So may this teaching be a benefit to you. And may I, at any rate, learn from today just I really like that metaphor of the Zoom echo that I think we've all experienced whenever you try to Zoom with somebody in the same room, even if it's your stunt double, in my case this morning, that there's a way to recognize that really unpleasant chatter that comes with the echo as a nice metaphor for what it's like to be in our heads when we first sit down and meditate. All this me, myself, and I reverberating. I think of too related the way when we hear our voices, it doesn't sound like it does in our heads. So there's lots of nice little metaphors there that, and it's just a reminder that we can incorporate even the most random of experiences into our practice. At any rate, may your days go well, and may that echo of our attachments and unskillful engagement with the world, may that be reduced a little bit by our practice today for ourselves and for others. And may we have some of that clarity, as some of that ability to see clearly that comes with the unification of mind or the sustained mindful attention to the here and now. May that be a benefit to us and to others. All right, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Hopefully Xfinity will have completed its work, and we'll move on from here. Thanks very much. Take care.